The Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright August Wilson died nearly 12 years ago after dazzling audiences with his work, and yet a new play based on Wilson's work premiered this season at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Unison is the play, and it is built on the poetry of August Wilson. The play runs through the season at the Ballmer Theater in Ashland. Unison came together through the work of Universes, a resident company within a company at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Back in the studio with us for, by my count, a third time, Mildred Ruiz Sapp. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Stephen Sapp, good to see you.
How you doing, man?
And William Ruiz. It goes by Ninja. Always good to see you as well.
How you all doing?
Doing very well. So let's, Stephen, apparently the whole story of Unison starts with you in Pittsburgh in 1995.
Yeah. I was part of a group called the Bronx Writers Corps, and it was, we went on a trip to Pittsburgh for the AWP Writing Conference. And they had a special night, which was a night with August Wilson. And different theater groups were going to do retrospectives of his work, and he was going to get up and speak. And that was a big deal. So I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm really excited. And the different presentations are going on, and it's very sort of standard ballroom. If you can imagine a ballroom and people doing theater in a ballroom.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's going to kind of, you know, it's like, oh, this is very nice. And August was up on the dais. He was sitting up there, and he got up to speak. And it got really quiet, and he reached his hand in his pocket, and he pulled out his speech and said, I don't want to read this. And he folded it up and put it back in his pocket and reached his hand in his other pocket and pulled out poetry. He goes, I think I'm going to read this. It's some poetry I have. And he started reading this poetry, and the room got quiet, almost confused. And I was sitting there going, what is that? Because it had a different feel to it. It was darker. It was angrier. It was sexier. It was bloodier. And I was like, wow. And I was sitting there as a poet from New York City going, wow, he's a real poet. It wasn't someone who kind of was doodling on pieces of paper. And I was like, no, this man could be in the poetry scene reading poetry. So I just was trying to track it. I said, what happened to that? And all these years, could never find it anywhere. There was no books anywhere. And I saw
it's unpublished.
Yes, unpublished. And I saw an article years ago that said, that had him saying, oh, I'm just going to put it in a box somewhere. And then we flash to 2012, and we're here doing Party People at OSF, and G. Val Thomas, who was a friend of August and had performed in a couple of August's plays, and was in Party People as Blue, and was a friend of Costanza Romero. And I asked G. Val in the dressing room. And so I asked him in the dressing room, is there a box of poetry or something that August has had? And he stopped and turned around and said, how do you know? And then that sort of started the conversation, and he connected us to Costanza Romero, and we got access to the poetry. It's amazing.
So nobody else had access to this poetry?
Actually, when we went to Costanza's house, we reached out to her several times, and she obviously was like, I'm sure in her mind, like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, and who do you think you are?
What's a universe?
What's that?
Yeah.
And then one day she came to see Party People with her daughter, and she saw what it was we did. And then she kind of said, okay, let's talk. And when we went to, she invited us to her house in Seattle. And when we went there, she was to kind of maybe give us access to the poetry, but we weren't really sure. And one of the things that she told us was that, you know, just a couple of weeks before we got there, because she was planning for us to arrive, that she opened it up and she looked at it for the first time, and she was just started reading all of this stuff. So even, you know, she knew she had it. You know, she has been putting all his stuff into the archives little by little, but she hadn't really, really had the opportunity to sit with it. There are some poems that have been published in magazines, like maybe two or three of them that you might find on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of interviews of his on the internet. But none of this poetry that she, you know, that she brought in front of us. And she was just like, you know, read it and tell me what you hear. As a poet, what do you, you know, because she didn't know how to approach it either. You know, she knew him as a playwright. She knew him as that August Wilson that the world knows, and obviously her husband and the father of her child. But this was a different person. And a lot of this poetry came way before, you know, in his early life. And, you know, from when he was a teenager to before he started writing some of those plays. And some of those poems actually inspire some of those characters in the plays.
So, Ninja, give us a sense of the reverence. I mean, you're talking about dealing with August Wilson and his poetry then, and you as a poet, too. I mean, what's this like to be handling this material that very few other people have seen?
Well, first of all, I think regardless of who it was that wrote the poetry, The fact that somebody wrote this poetry and we're given the opportunity to read through it and reinterpret it, I think that's where the birth of that reverence comes from, is the fact that, you know, somebody bled onto these pages and here we are kind of open-eyed and ready to do this. We don't know what we're going to do, but, oh, man, we're here with the poetry. It was more than just reading the poetry. It was really trying to understand it on the first go around. So as we read each poem, we really tried to let it sink into our voices and into our heads to figure out what was meant by all this as it was being written. And in approaching it in that way, I think we were able to see and hear things deeply into the poem, and from that we were able to create characters and storylines, which we now use in unison.
And just a couple seconds up to a break here, but were you given just a little at first, or did she say, here's the whole trove?
She said, here's the whole thing, and then left us in the room with it.
We had 2 days.
Literally were sitting there with mounds. I mean, I don't think we even read through it all. I mean, it was mounds of it, some of it in his handwriting, in his typewriter. His E was broken, so it was always slightly off. So we went through a lot of it over the course of 2 days, just reading as, you know, wordsmiths and poets and artists and souls, just reading, like Ninja said, someone's personal, somebody bled on that page. So just to sit there and read someone's intimate thoughts that wasn't meant to be really seen was really precious.
All right, we'll talk about how you got from that moment into creating a whole play called Unison. That is the play at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, presented by the company within a company known as Universes. We have all three of them here, Mildred, Ninja, and Steven. Good to see them all here, back on the Jefferson Exchange, to talk more about the birth of Unison from the poetry of August Wilson in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're visiting once again with Universes, the company within a company at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, a creative team from New York City with lots of poetry and spoken word stuff and plays and party people at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in 2012. Lots of things to their credit. It is Mildred William, who goes by Ninja, and Steven. So it's Mildred Ruiz Sapp, William Ruiz, and Steven Sapp, if you're keeping score at home. You can join the conversation on the Exchange about the birth of their latest project called Unison, which uses the poetry of August Wilson as the backbone for the story. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we talked about getting a hold of this poetry of August Wilson, and you got to spend 2 days with it, you said?
Yeah, initially it was 2 days, mm-hmm, of sitting there with it.
And then what was the process after that? Was it like, let's talk further, or, you know, about what you're going to do with this, or was it?
Well, she, Constanza, August Widow, she gave us the opportunity. She actually allowed us to walk away with poetry. So she said, you know, here's these folders, fill it up with the thing that moves you the most, with the poetry that moves you the most. So we walked away with a couple of hundred poems, and we went home and just started like reading them over and over again. But initially we found two poems right there in the house that we all, like, our eyes locked onto them. And the first poem, it was basically like a little laundry list of 7 characters, and it just gave a little description about the character, about each character. And it was called Identification of the 7 Terrors. And the first terror is all hips and legs and comes welcome. That's about as much of the poem I'm gonna give you. But the rest of it, we tell you in the play. But that was the description for the first terror. Then the second terror had the same, like, one line description. So we already knew there are 7 characters, and this is all we have to go by. All hips and legs and comes welcome. So it's like, what does that mean? We don't even know. What does that mean? You know? So these 7 riddles were there. And then we were going through these. Then another poem, the second poem, was Testimony of the Witness. And that one spoke about someone giving a box full of items to someone else, right? And it said, do not open the box. But then it said, open the box. And when you open the box, you will see it as yourself, right? And it would just, you know, it was this whole journey, maybe like 3 pages long. Is that that poem?
Yeah. Well.
And it talks about these 7 individuals who will come and help you figure it out. And we were like, oh gosh, it's August talking to us. This is craziness, because we were in front of the box. It was his box. So we were just like, this was really weird. And we were a little bit, you know, creeped out about it. But it was really exciting that that's how it was kind of all playing out. So we said, well, we have a poet and we're kind of the apprentice or the mentees in this situation. So we created a character that's the poet who leaves a box to his apprentice. And there are 7 terrors that they have to deal with, or 7 people in this poet's life that come from those stories in the box.
So so we begin essentially at the poet's death. This is the beginning point.
Yes.
Of it? Okay. So
yeah.
So let's get a clip in here, because I want people to hear what goes on. And anybody who saw Party People and has seen any of the work of Universes knows there's going to be music. There's going to be spoken word. There's going to be dance. There's going to be lots of stuff. So let's. Why Do Men Die, Waleed, is the first clip we want to play from Universes. So that's a clip mm-hmm. called Why Do Men Die from yeah. Unison.
Yes.
Based on the poetry of August. What's happening in that scene?
So in this scene...
Yeah, the poet has just died. So that the opening scene is a sequence between the poet talking to his apprentice. And so the poet has just died, and this is sort of his funeral that's going on. So the pallbearers are dancing and singing with the apprentice, mourning the death of the poet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This particular clip was put together by Toshi Regan. She's one of the co-composers of Unison. So Unison is composed by Universes, Broken Chord, who worked with us on Party People, and Toshi. Toshi came in and worked on 2 songs.
I didn't realize that until yesterday. Toshi was a guest on The Exchange a bunch of years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's fantastic. She wrote, she created the music for this piece, as well as another piece that you're gonna play the waltz mm-hmm. to Get Dizzy later on. So she composed the music for that, and the lyrics are from some of August's poetry. So you know, he would say, "I can dance a waltz that'll make you dizzy," and that mm-hmm. you'll hear that in the play. That's one of his lines. And then Why Do Men Die is from another one of his poems. So we took some of his poetry and we spliced it to create songs as well.
Well, so that's where I start getting into discussions of creative process, in addition to just the content of the play itself. I mean, there's 3 of you, but there's also lots of other people involved. You got dramaturgs, you got a director for the show.
Oh, yes.
Robert O'Hara, you got... and just in the creation process, even before you get to a director,
mm-hmm.
You got work from August Wilson, you got stuff in your own heads, you got music and melody from other people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you direct? I mean, what's air traffic control like for a project like this?
It's very busy, and it can get a little frustrating, only because there is a lot of voices, but you have to feel like everyone's there for a good cause. And they're all there for the sake of for the show. So you're listening. And for us, this is how we work anyway. We work in an ensemble fashion. We're used to dealing with pieces of this, and there's a poem over there, and someone has this over there, and someone gave some suggestion over there. So we're used to working in this, I don't want to call it chaos, but this type of stew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about getting everyone else to understand how we work and making sure that creative ensemble environment goes through the entire process. And it's fun, and it's liberating, because we were able to not be so precious with August's poetry. And when I say that, I mean, we were able to take a poem and go like, well, we like these five lines. Let's take these lines and move that over there. Let's take this piece and put it over there. Let's make this a song. Let's cut that out. Why don't we just write in these five lines to finish this off? So we treated him as if he was the other member in the group. And I think that helped it opened up the process.
But did it take you a while to get there? I mean, was there a bit of like, you know, we can't touch, this is August Wilson's poetry? I mean, I wonder how long you might have stayed in that mode, if at all.
I think while we were in the room reading the poetry, we already had decided, you know, we're going to have to move things around because this one piece of poetry, which is about cooking, for instance, is only a five-line poem that he wrote. But then he also wrote this other three-line poem, kind of also about cooking. And so what we were doing was, okay, let's take these two and make a poem out of them both and then add something in between. And we were already analyzing it in that way while we were reading the poetry in his house. We were trying to figure out what correlation does one poem have to another. How can we create one poem out of 30? Mm-hmm. So we went into the process already analyzing the poetry in that way.
So you guys must have little chunks of lyrics and poems and stuff always floating around in there. It's like, hey, this sounds like this other thing I know.
Yes, that's like totally how our room is. That's totally how we work, period. Like Mil just says, we have like Rolodex in our head. And you just have to be that open. And if the room is that open, you're not intimidated by someone going, hey, well, what about this line? You know what I mean? It could be the person working on the script who's just sitting in the corner, who's been listening to rehearsal for the last 6 days, says, oh, well, when you did that, I like that. And that little remark right there could have changed an entire scene. You just have to be open to listening to all of it if you have the right people in the room. Yeah. And we did.
We also worked with Joan Harrington. She's a dramaturg. Mm-hmm. And she had worked with August before. And so she knew kind of how to help protect, you know, August's work and with Costanza, you know, how to protect the estate's interest in, mm-hmm. you know, how August's work was brought forward. Mm-hmm. And then also how to collaborate with us because we worked with her on Ameriva in Michigan with her students. So she already knew how some of our work, how it's crafted mm-hmm. or what our intentions are. So she was able to help us maneuver with that. But for the most part, it was really just the three of us sticking to our guns and also saying that we knew we could see something else. You know, August didn't write these poems to be on the stage. You know, so had he written that, that would have been a different conversation. These pieces were just written, and now we had to figure out what could be done with them.
We are talking to the folks from Universes, the resident company of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, about the creation of Unison, which is their play, which basically is built on a backbone of August Wilson poetry. Mildred Ruiz Sapp, Stephen Sapp, and William Ruiz, who goes by Ninja. Good to have them all back in the studio once again. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jeff in, I think, Ashland says, I saw the production last week. Thank you so much. It was an emotional sucker punch. Tremendous visceral impact. Great show on all levels.
Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. It's the Jeff I've heard before has discriminating taste. So that's a good review to get. You talked about the openness of August Wilson's widow Constanza Romero to taking this stuff, and but did it ever get to here's the contract, you know, thou shalt not this anything? Were any constraints placed on you?
Well, you know what happened? I think when she first invited us to the house and we first spoke to her, there was a openness, there was a soul to soul, or she's a costume designer. It was an artist to artist vibe to it. And I think she was just excited that somebody came and asked about August, who wasn't part of sort of the August Wilson camp. We just sort of came very sort of open and humble.
From the younger generation.
I think as the process went along and she began to watch us craft it, I think her wife head creeped in. And it was just kind of like, oh my God, what did I do? What did I really entrust them with? And I think that became the negotiation of how to her apprehension, like, oh my God, I gave it to them. I don't know if I should have given it to them because I don't really know them, but I'm trusting my instincts to let them work with this. And no one else has ever touched it. And August specifically said no one should see it, but we have it. So I think there was a lot of that to negotiate for her. And I think we just approached it with grace. We tried, you know, and humility and excitement. And also, like Mil just said, sticking to our guns. This is who we are. This is how we function as an ensemble. Please trust us to move as an ensemble. We are very...
She wears three hats.
Yeah, you know? And we understand.
An artist. She's his widow, and she's the estate. You know, so she has
credited on the program.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So she has to answer to different people, not just us. You know, she may love what we're doing or really love where we're coming from as far as our intentions are concerned. But then she also, as his wife and the mother of his child, has to answer to that. And then as the estate has to answer to those folks. And it's like, how do you, you know, I'm sure it was nerve wracking, you know, up until opening night, like, is this going to work? Because if it doesn't, I don't know what to say, you know? And I think that, you know, once we open the piece, I truly believe that she's, you know, we didn't let her down. And I don't think that she let anyone else down. I think that by taking this chance, she's allowed the world a new opportunity to meet August again. And that was the conversations we were having with her earlier. You know, for new generations, what do we do? You know, how do you present him?
How do you connect August Wilson to a new audience?
Yeah.
So that was really the goal. And I think that we've been very successful in collaboration with her to make that happen.
Let's get another clip in here. Let's, Waleed, play Talk About the Body, please.
You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it. You want to talk about the body, want to talk about it.
So what's going on in this clip? What's happening here?
Well, this actually happens in so there the first terror. Even though in the play we present the boxer as the first terror, but for this terror is she's called the seamstress, and she's the poet's daughter, which he never claimed, right? And her mother died in a fire. And what we're doing is, you want to talk about the body, so we're trying to get the poet to talk about it, talk about the body, the burned body, the thing that happened, the body of work, the body of everything. Let's talk about it. So it's at the very early on in the show, and we're just trying to entice the poet to accept some of the things that have happened.
So let me go back and reset just a bit. So the poet, the lead character in the play, has just died.
Yes.
And then there's this trunk full of stuff. And I mean, this is sort of like, I think I've heard this story before, burn my stuff after I've died.
Yes.
But the apprentice opens up the trunk and does what?
She opens up the trunk and the terrors come out of the trunk. And it pulls the...
Almost like Pandora's box.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And it pulls the poet back from whence he came, back to deal with and wrestle with these terrors and sit humbly in front of the apprentice as his life begins to be unfolded in front of her.
Yeah, because she was fascinated by him, right? So he could do no wrong. He's her mentor. And then now she's discovering all these things and just questioning him and just like her view of him, kind of also, you know, looking through August Wilson's poetry and saying, wow, August Wilson. And then being like, oh, August was human. August was this guy, you know, and just kind of like stepping back for a minute and trying to deal with his humanity, and then watching it kind of all unfold, and then still loving him even more for it, you know, taking him off the pedestal and then putting him back up.
Which leads to a question from Shoshana in Ashland, who says, I've seen Unison twice now. The energy of it is still moving in my mind. Haunting. Thank you. In the Seven Terrors poem, was August Wilson talking about his own life events, or was he creating a fictional character? So in Unison, are we learning August Wilson's own life story? That again from Shoshana.
No, we're not learning August Wilson's story. But the terrors are definitely from August. He was definitely wrestling with something. Mm-hmm. We just took it and gave it creative license and took it to all these different places. That wasn't even in the poetry. But the initial poem he did write. So he was wrestling with a lot of things. There's a lot of things in the poetry that's in the show and that we even read that's maybe not even make the show. August was wrestling with a lot of things, as we all do. He just put it on paper. Mm-hmm. I think the brilliance of it for us is to be able to take something as small as the first terror is all hips and legs and comes welcome, and literally create a story from that line. Mm-hmm. Basic is what we did for each terror, and then stretched it out and made a show.
And we would take different poems and put them into each of these terrors baskets and say, this belongs to that terror, this belongs to that terror. You know? So we would craft it that way.
You start assigning things.
We would say, yeah, we would read it. And we would say, this belongs to that, da 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 da. And, you know, just, it. Obviously, he wrote, I like to call it, his poetry is the chakras of the play, right? So that it kind of just bursts of energy that kind of inform what's happening at that moment. And then we build from our own imagination, and not because we're poets as well and we have our own terrors. We added some of our own stories in there, our own ideas. You know, just listening to one of his poems would spark, you know, all kinds of ideas in us of like, what is that character and what are they feeling? You know, he had so the first terror is the seamstress, right? And we gave them all just like kind of like a job title. Is what we did. He didn't name them that, you mm-hmm. know, but he just gave us that description about her. Christiana Clark plays it. And, you know, we said, you know, this would be his daughter, his illegitimate, mm-hmm. his daughter that nobody talked about. The second terror is the butcher, right? And Ninja plays the butcher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have to go on a break?
We do. You
can okay. Hear yeah, I hear.
Thanks for wearing the headphones. You can hear the music. We'll come back and talk more about the creation of Unison based on the poetry of August Wilson by Universes. William, Mildred, and Stephen. And you can come back and join us on the Jefferson Exchange by phone or by email when we're back in a minute five. Final segment of today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We have a rare treat in the studio today, a chance to talk to artists from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in the morning when they tend to be dormant. We're talking to Mildred, Ninja, and Steven from Universes, the resident ensemble that has been part of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival since Party People back in 2012. And they have taken the poetry of August Wilson with the permission of August Wilson's widow and created a new play called Unison, which is wowing audiences on the Shakespeare stage from now until October. You can join the conversation about the creation of the show and what's in it, 800-838-3760, to join us by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Let's get another clip in here. Waleed, we're looking for Big Bad Wolf as the next clip.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Not I, not I. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Not I. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
Some swing in the studio along with that.
Oh, yes.
So what's the context of this one?
Well, this terror. I'm just thinking about the description and everything. But anyway, this terror is the hunter, and her story. The thing we want to say about her,
you, Mildred. You play.
Yeah, that's me, Mildred. I don't really want to give away the story. But the thing about it that's really, really important is this is the point in the play where the apprentice has to understand that the things that the poet writes aren't necessarily true to him, aren't necessarily his story, right? Because she starts believing that he's guilty of all of this,
that
right?
He's done horrible things.
That he's just, you know, he left his daughter or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, that he took somebody's wife, that he, you know, and that he might have, you know, sexually abuse someone, like all kinds of things that we were able to explore in the poetry. But one of the things we wanted to do was say everything a poet writes, you know, a poet needs to have that license and that freedom. An artist needs to be able to imagine and create and fantasize and explore. And that's where, in that moment in the play where we have to tell the audience, chill out for a minute. This is poetry, you know, it's art. You know, and we're not accusing August of anything. We're not accusing Universes of anything. We have that right to create, you know, whatever it is, the story we want to tell.
But so, I mean, you deliberately called the character poet and not
Yes.
You know, not August Wilson.
Yes. It's not August Wilson. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like what we want to accomplish with this. And this character is a victim of sexual abuse. And she's saying, this actually is interesting because August wrote a series of Little Red Riding Hood poems, right? Mm-hmm. And we were like, what is this? You know, like, what are all these poems just popping up, Little Red Riding Hood? And he's talking about sexual abuse, you know, in it. And we're like, let's make it happen. Let's bring it all to life, you know. So we create a Red Riding Hood character on stage who goes through her journey and sees the poet as the wolf. So she's on a hunt. Everybody kind of, you know, takes over the stage in that way. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful kind of just visually. I mean, well, the whole show is visually amazing, as far as I believe.
I've not seen it myself. I had tickets and we couldn't make it because of illness. But it just looks like a really rich stage. Not a lot on it, but you have all these frames in the stage. It looks like windows on an apartment.
Chris Acebo's set design was great. We haven't had a chance to work with Chris this way, so it was exciting just to see what he would design in that space, and he knows that space well. Alex Chanchill did the lights. Mm-hmm. Caitlin
Pietras,
who did the lighting design, the video projection for Mojada, also did the projections for Unison, which is amazing. So,
and Didi Aite did all the costumes, and the costumes are just so much fun to play with and just to live in. They bring all those characters to different levels.
We had a great team.
Well, let's come right back to the very beginning, though, and ask about the actual title of the play, Unison, with capital S and Son. So where did that come from?
Well,
originally we wanted to title the play Testimony of the Witness. But then lots of people who were involved in the process really wanted a title that alluded to the creators of the show. So we basically mixed the name Universes and Wilson and got Unison. And
You did it.
It was such a perfect title because that is what is the work, what this work is about. And as universes, that is what our work is about, is creating work and sound in unison. And so, I mean, come on.
Well, that is unison. It sounds better than Williverse, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
So when you're talking about the process, though, the collaborative process, you guys do, Ninja, and I have to wonder, I mean, do you have a stenographer or somebody who just sits there and takes down notes while you guys are thinking out loud?
No, we are doing that constantly the whole time. But also having the dramaturgy team in the room listening to our conversation, listening to what it is that we're researching. They go home and they start researching that too. And so we have a lot of information coming in from people who are paying a lot of attention to our conversations. So no, we don't have stenographers, but everybody is all in whenever the conversations are happening. And ideas are popping up. And the room is such that when somebody does have an idea, it's never shut down. It's listened to. Every idea gets listened to. Mm-hmm. Not every idea gets played. But we do take the time to listen to every possibility because we never know what road might be the one that we'd want to travel, which hadn't been traveled before.
It's kind of like a long-range improv, isn't it? Everything is yes and instead of no.
Yeah. You just try to keep the energy moving forward, and you're listening. Again, like I said, if you have the right people in the room, the actors are in the scene, so they may feel something and do something. Now, it's not written, but are you going to sit there and be like, no, it's not written, you can't? Or you're going to go, oh, yes, go further. Go. What do you hear? What do you feel? So we know we have the final say-so on it. And because you know it, there's no insecurity about, oh, my God, this is happening now at 5 o'clock, and it's wrong. Knowing that by 10 o'clock, we probably figure it out. But trusting that five-hour process of figuring it out, and opposed to trying to shoot it down an early idea at 5 o'clock. You know what I mean? So I think, again, if you have the right room, we have the right people.
We also worked on,
and we work that way.
We worked on a living document, you know? So like we have a Google document that we were kind of like, it was alive. So people could come in and see us typing, or they could, write comments on the side. So only the three of us could actually manipulate the document, and they could see us thinking out loud or on screen, you know, mm-hmm. wherever they were in the country.
But they could do notes and say, you know, this seems to me like this, mm-hmm. or yeah. this could work in there.
Yeah. Or, hey, remember what you said about this? Uh-huh. Maybe this was a good place for it. Or a designer might have a question. Hey, do you think this thing you're writing here, do you think I should try to think about this as a design idea? You know, so it was definitely a color. We love to have the collaboration happening even in the middle of the night, early in the morning. Like, mm-hmm. people would just open. You never know who's going to be on. And it would just be like, you could see people typing little notes, or they'd be chatting on the side about things. And we'd just be writing away or cutting and pasting some of August poetry in there, you know, so that the conversation was alive no matter what. And nobody was ever in the dark about something.
Did you guys ever work in restaurant kitchens?
Yes.
I asked that because it seems like you're able to keep, like, you know, 16 different burners going at one time, and nothing ever gets burnt to a crisp.
Yeah. No, it's
well, if it does get burnt to a crisp, it goes right into the trash.
Yes. There are things that get burnt.
We start again.
Yeah. So let's play another clip. And let me reset again. We're talking about Unison, the play of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival based on August Wilson's poetry. The lead character, the poet, has just died. The apprentice opens the trunk and the seven terrors come out. Terror 1, we mentioned, the seamstress, played by Christiana Clark. Terror 2, the butcher, played by Ninja. Terror 3, the boxer, played by Kevin Kennelly, or played by Cedric Lamar this past week, I heard. Mm-hmm. Terror 4, the blacksmith, played by Rodney Gardner. Terror 5, the hunter, played by Mildred. Terror 6, Mama, played by Yvette Monique Clark. And Terror 7, the soldier, played by Jonathan Luke Stevens. Having said all those names, which we probably will all forget instantly, but let's hear the last clip that we haven't heard yet, called Dance a Waltz.
Let's dance a waltz to get dizzy.
When you've got not just the three of you, but also you've got the dramaturgs in here, you mentioned Broken Cord and Tashi Regan involved in this, mm-hmm. as well. I mean, so who provides the melody for that, or was this all collaborative too?
It's all collaborative, and you never know who brings it in, who starts the idea, who fleshes the idea out. But I think we all of us contributed.
Well, for the songs, usually Universes brings in the original, the bass melody.
Idea.
We have the idea. And then, like, Toshi took away some of the text, gave her, like, a bass idea. Mm-hmm. And then she went and dreamt up a whole other kind of thing and put the instrumentals to the whole thing. Same thing with Broken Cord. Broken Cord, they compose all the, you know, the original music that's in the instrumental music. But they don't create the songs, per se. So that's the Universes. So it's definitely, everybody kind of falls into just like this natural, organic kind of conversation with each other and dealing with what it is. And then you'll have somebody like Robert O'Hara, our director, who will hear something and say, well, I don't know. I want it to sound a little bit more upbeat, or we need that to be a little bit, you know, like, so you have people in dialogue all the time and just saying, you know, trying to structure it to different visions and trying to get what it is that they need out of it.
Does it take a lot longer to make a show this way than if one of you sat down just pounded out a show?
I don't think so.
I don't know if it's necessarily longer. I mean, I think it's, you definitely are negotiating with other people, mm-hmm. and you have to, you're thinking what you're thinking and you're doing what you're doing, but you also have to take into account the bigger picture.
And also, three or four pieces could be getting created at the same time.
I think
yes.
it's easier.
So I think it's a lot quicker.
I mean, usually a playwright will say it takes them 2 to 3 years to create a play to the place where you want it to be, mm-hmm. like in its best production. And that's about as long as it's always taken us. It took us that long for Party People. It took mm-hmm. us that long for Unison.
So how, I didn't even ask, when was it you first talked to Costanza Romero and got a hold of the...
I think it was 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, is when we went to the house.
Years, yeah.
yeah, and just really kind of, it took that long. But I will give it up to Bill Rausch, who decided to produce the play.
The artistic director of the Shakespeare
Festival. Who, when I approached him and said, look, we have the rights to this poetry, was like, oh my God, we should talk. You know, like, the conversation went really quickly. It wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot of dating going on, and we went straight to it. So, which is which right actually away. Good. Yeah.
So did Constanza Romero get kind of separated from the process, then you bring her back in at some point? I'm just curious to know when you, like, showed her something.
Well, you know, she was there the whole time with us. Mm-hmm. From its very inception, she was giving us input, and then, well, she had other gigs and stuff that she had to do, other jobs, but then whenever she was free, she would join back up with us, and kind of, you know, helped us all guide this piece together to where it's at now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously she had to deal with Fences and Jitney, the success of all of that, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, August is back.
He's hot. You know? Yeah.
So she obviously had to travel the world and accept Tonys or you know, accept awards and, you know, be at special dinners and all kinds of things. But she would come back and she'd be, you know, she was here for Tech. She was here for opening night. And she also was, you know, in a constant communication with the dramaturgs and with Bill, you know, with the director. And so, you know, there's a way that notes are allowed to be given in the theater, in the theatrical process. And there's a way to also protect the playwright where it's like, okay, so who's going to, how many notes are we getting here? Like, who am I listening to?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you obviously have a structure like OSF always has, you know, where the artistic director and the director of play are the ones that are kind of gathering everybody, the external notes or ideas, bring them all together, having that dialogue and then bringing that to us. So, but in the meantime, we always had a direct communication with her, and I think it was fantastic. I think that, you know, we got to a really great place.
And so, just the last question here, because we just got a few seconds. Were you revising right up until opening night, pretty much?
Oh,
not rewriting,
but I mean, you're definitely tweaking some things, and you're. I mean, it's a living, breathing piece. So yeah, right up until you open.
Okay, living, breathing in the persons of the people from Universes. We're talking to Mildred, Steven, and Ninja. Always good to see you guys here at Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I just have to say one person we did not mention, and I would be, is Byron Easley, who did the choreography on this piece. It is so delicious, and I just could not let it go by.
And Asia Mark plays the apprentice, who's our first year.
Oh, right, I didn't mention her by name.
Her first year here at OSF, and she's doing an amazing job. So
okay. Yeah, Unison will play into October at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Thanks again to Universes for being here in the Exchange today.